Temptation, the after Christmas sale of the century, will not be heard at this time, so that we may knock off 2024.
This is Gordon Pepper, and if there's anything that was not a knockoff, it was this past year, because we've had fills, we've had spills, and we've had a ton of game show activity.
Yep, a whole lot of everything from New Year's Day to New Year's Eve. We're going to go over the best and worst of everything. And because 2024 is still full of surprises, we have two Super Champs, three Second Chances, six Pop Culture Jeopardies, and a Partridge in a Pear Tree.
Where's the tree?
I believe Mr. Beast is growing it.
Oh, yes, we have stuff. We have stuff to talk about that, too.
We've got stuff to talk about.
And we're going to start it right now because, Chico...
Somewhere in America, the best and worst of everything 2024 edition of WLTI is on! Let's go!
Whee!
It is 2025, but now we have to go back to the year that just ended. This is the best and worst of 2024 edition here at 5-1. My name is Jason Block, along with my two brothers from another mother. Gentlemen, Chico, Gordon, Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year to you, Jason. I hope 2025 is everything you set it out to be.
I hope so, too. And so far in the 15 hours or so that we're around, so far so good.
Yeah, I won $100 on Portal 1 last night, so 2025 already looking good for me.
There you go. And more purple chippies for you in 2025. But we have a lot of categories and a lot of things to review, so let's get right to it with, bell please, the best and worst game show moment of 2024, and I will start. And to me, this is a no-brainer, and the fact that Victoria Gross got invited to the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament, won the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament, goes to Jeopardy Masters, and beats the creme de la creme, including Madame Odio, Matea Roach, James Holthauer, Amy Schneider, and Yogesh Rout, and then goes on to win the World Quizzing Championships, becoming the first female ever to do it. What a great year for her.
It is a great year, and that is exactly why she is part of the great moment of 2024, because, again, she did everything that she set out to do, and more on top of that. So, props to Victoria Gross, and frankly, ABC really is messing up when they're deciding to shelve the chase or rest the chase. They haven't officially canceled it just yet, but they're shelving the show.
It would have, you know, if, and Gordon, you, I don't know if you're going to make it a triple or not, that would have been a great thing to piggyback off of, and they didn't do it.
Well, I'm going to sort of make it a triple. My story is going to be based on Victoria Gross, but it's going to be based on her winning the WQC, the World Quizzing Championships. Because, again, it's very rarefied air for someone of that stature, even someone with the stature of Victoria Gross, to be winning anything from a world foreign competition standpoint. So for her to be able to do that, representing the United States, that would be my favorite moment of the year.
There we go. But now we need to go to the worst. Yeah, not so good. And this one is actually sad, and I will call this Pitfall 2.0. The parent company of the game show Lucky 13, which is Studio One, goes out of business, stranding the players and some of the people involved to the point where we still haven't heard if they've gotten paid yet.
Yeah, the one thing you don't want to do is stiff Shaquille O'Neal or Gina Rodriguez. But yeah, it's like one of those things where Lucky 13 could have been better than it actually was. And that's just the whole disappointment of it all. But yeah, Lucky 13 going out of business, stranding players and employees. Just not a good look all around.
In the business, we call this foreshadowing.
Yeah, I'm going to be close to that one, but I went in a different direction for this. Cancer. Cancer sucks. And there's been too many people way far gone this season and this year that have had their lives taken. And this has really been the year where we've lost a lot of icons. We can go Peter Marshall. We can go Chuck Woolery. Even more recently in terms of stuff that I know that we have that we're covering this week. So this has just not been a good year for that.
No, it has not. I mean, to lose Peter Marshall and Chuck Woolley in the same year, I believe in the same month, too, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
Yeah.
So, moving on to the best and worst reality show moment. Gordon, I'm going to start with you. What do you got?
Let's see. Best reality show moment. And this is going to be interesting because I am not the biggest fan of RuPaul's Drag Race this season for the global. I don't think the show was great, but my favorite moment was when Alyssa Edwards got her due. And when she won Global Drag Race All-Stars for someone that's been in the game a very long time, that has done nothing but been a beacon to help out people in that whole genre and the whole group, and for her to finally have that due being paid off.
I'll go right show wrong train on this one. It was Nymphia Wind being the first East Asian queen to win RuPaul's Drag Race, and deservedly so, I might add. Chico?
I'm gonna, you know what, as much as Drag Race was really good this year, I'm gonna have to go with a different show, and that would be a show where everybody seemed to have been playing the best game that they could. You couldn't really call it Morons in the House this season because the cast of Big Brother 26 were basically adapting to every move that was thrown upon them, and it helps matters incredibly that the twist that they did from start to finish was as good as it was.
So what is your moment, per se?
My moment? Okay. Well, my moment would be the finale of Big Brother 26.
Okay. All right. Now we move to, and this one barely unanimous. Yeah. This one, for me, was the easiest one to vote for. Which would be Dancing with the Stars hiring convicted criminal Anna Delvey, promoting her, and her getting voted out in a week, and her not giving a rat's behind about the show or anything else to therefore.
I'm just thinking to myself, Anna Delvey, she was voted on. She came, she was voted off, and she took nothing from the experience. All the same week.
Yeah, we're going to make this a trio. I understand the point. I understand why you'd want to do it. They've done this before with Flying Lofty and company, but this did not work this time. And it goes down in my mind with Rudy Giuliani's Big Piece of Cake and Ryan Lochte and a bunch of other people that went with the, yeah, I know what you're trying to do, but with this person, really?
And
so, yeah, not a good look.
And I don't think ABC is going to learn from it either. That's the sad point.
It's got nothing to do with learning or not learning. They're not going to learn about it. That's not, you know, what's the purpose about television shows, Genjai?
Making money.
More than that.
Butts and seats.
Yeah, thank you, Chico. That's what it is. And it's been shown over the years, if you have 10 Girl Scout leaders or 10 biker chicks, and they're both competing on Dancing with the Stars, where's the eyeballs going? They're going to the biker chicks.
Indeed.
So it's not about a lesson being learned. It's about picking the right lesson.
Now we move on to the best and worst game show player of 2024. And like we said earlier, Victoria Gross was the best game show player all around, without question, for all the reasons we said earlier. Really.
Not even close.
Yeah, if we're going to go players, it's got to be Gross on this.
Then, and this one's going to surprise you a little bit for me, okay? When you were one of the top six in Jeopardy Masters in year one and you did okay, you get invited back. But Amy Schneider had one of the worst overall performances in Jeopardy Masters in a while. And she's great, but don't invite her back next year. Sorry. I mean, you've got Yogesh Raut, Victoria Gross, and who was the third? Matea Roach, I believe. Was it Matea who was the third? And, you know, you bring back maybe Matt Amodio, you bring back Holtower. I don't know who you put the sixth in there, but Amy needs a year off just to refresh.
Gordon?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were going to meet. Yeah, unfortunately, I got to say the same thing here. And you know, sometimes you have a bad day, you have a bad day. Ken Jennings almost never became the legend that he was if it wasn't for Final Jeopardy. So
that's right.
Anybody could have a good day or bad day. Amy Schneider clearly had a bad day.
Yeah, I'm going to make it simple here. Amy Schneider is perhaps one of the best persons to ever play the game. But even I remember a commercial about 25 years ago, back when Iron Chef was a thing on Food Network. Joe Cipriano, in his illustrious voice, said, "Even Iron Chefs have bad days." So chalk it up to just having a bad day.
Or a bad tournament, really.
Yeah.
Now we need to go to the best and worst reality show players of 2024. And for me, this one was a little interesting one. And remember when you said we were talking about House of Idiots and Racists? Not this year. The cast of Big Brother 26 played the games from moment one. They used the veto 9 out of 11 times. And they were fun, weird, wild, and had me entertained throughout the entire season. It was the cast of Big Brother 26, from Tucker to Angela to a Quinn Martin production. I mean, seriously, it was all fun.
Yeah, it was fun, but let me tell you something. When you're on Survivor and you're playing as hard as the two champions did, I believe it was Rachel Lamont and Kenzie Petty, you're playing as hard as those two did, and you end up winning, and you're in, like, elite crowd in the likes of Sandra Diaz-Twine and Jenna Maraska, you get noticed. And I'm noticing both of them as my best reality players.
Yeah, I'm gonna sort of slightly disagree. Right train, wrong track. Kenzie Petty got there, but she barely won, and she won because you had a little bit of spite from one of the jurors who gave her the win. I truly feel that Rachel Lamont played a masterful game. She won 7-1, and the only reason why it was an 8-0 was that Kyle wanted to make sure that Sam got second place. So Rachel, for all things for me, is the reality show player of the year. She played a masterful game of Survivor.
And remember, we put it to you this way, that was Survivor 48, 47. Right?
47.
Okay. Yeah, we've got 3 to go to 50. Man, they're going to have to, we're going to hear news about that soon as well. The worst player for me, you could say Anna Delvey easily, but for me, it was the guy who, even though he cheated and was told not to cheat, said, "Why? I did it on Survivor, but you can't do it here." That would be Rob Mariano from Deal or No Deal Island.
Yeah, I would go to Anna Delvey because it's just that darn easy to go to Anna Delvey. Rob Mariano, with all due respect to your pick, Jay, played a very good game and had one incredibly blow-up moment. So yeah,
okay.
I'm going with Anna Delvey on this one.
All right, I'm going to go in a different direction, which is you had someone in the Traitors that absolutely had the game in the palm of his hand and then screwed it up, got too aggressive, blew up his game, blew up the Traitors' games, got eliminated early, and made sure that the Faithful were going to win, and that would be Dan Giesling.
Yeah. That's a good one, too.
Big Brother player, excellent. Traitors, not so much.
Indeed. All right, so from there we go to the sixth man for best non-host castmate.
Now this one usually I would go to. Oh yeah, it's Let's Make a Deal cast. Their improv is great. They're, you know, which, you know, it is. Great people, great everything. However, I'm going to go in a different direction. To me, Ainsley from Big Brother 26 really kept the show flowing, and the actress who played her in the beginning, which turned into the BB AI avatar, was spot on. For her, she was the best sixth host, a sixth man person, avatar. You know what I mean.
Well, it's easy for me to just piggyback off of that. I'm not going to, but I will say both the ensembles of The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal are making the best of a new home this year. And for that, I give it to them.
Gordon?
So for me, the sixth person of the year wasn't a person. It was Wolverine and Deadpool.
Whammies.
They were the whammies. And if there is one show on Pressure Luck that absolutely did it justice, and Chico, I'm going to send you a link to play.
You're going to send me a link to play?
I'm going to send you a link to play.
Okay.
All right. Hold on one second. Oh, here it is. All right. Here's the chat room, and here's the link.
Okay. I'm going to share my screen so that I can indeed play it. And oh dear, here we go. All right.
Big money, Comic-Con, big bucks.
Taking over your show, bub.
What? Our new movie's coming out, so we're here to get some free publicity.
Elizabeth, did you know about this?
You forgot to take the money.
I got it.
Oh,
this is gonna be fun.
I like how you say that.
In celebration of their movie releasing this weekend, Deadpool and Wolverine are here for a whammy takeover. But I gotta say, I kind of want to see what happens from here on out.
Now I'm actually shocked that I didn't put that as my best game show moment.
So, and I mean, there's so many different ones that was there, and this is one of those episodes. And yeah, Pressure Luck is fun, and all these things are fun, but this made you watch this episode again and again and again and again and again. So, for me, there is no question about it. That was your six-man character thing.
Yeah, six-man. Well, you know what? And that one, remember when we went through it, that was beautiful synergy, marketing,
That was how you do corporate service. And this is how you do it around the world.
Around the world, and I can't find my baby.
It is time for the Lisa Stansfield Semi-Memorial Best International Format Award.
Yes. And for me, it's the format that still gets me every time, and I watch it online as much as I can. It's a great show. It's Only Connect.
I love Only Connect. It is fantastic. But just for the sake of being different, pointless.
you know, the year belongs to the traitors, guys. I love Only Connect. I love Pointless. But the year belonged to the traitors.
Yeah, but you got to remember something, Chico, which is this. Yes, it does belong. If you want to make that argument for the traitors, yes, that's fine, all well and good. But I like to spread the knowledge. Pointless and Only Connect are both shows we haven't seen yet in the United States. And true. We want to.
Not for lack of trying. I mean, they did do the pilot for GSN, but they didn't want to commit to it.
No, by the way, I just have one question. Speaking of international formats, we both saw Jeopardy! UK and Wheel of Fortune UK this year, and they're both coming back. What did you think of them? Because they were both impressive in their own ways.
I like them both. That's one of those things where if I'm doing work and I've got my YouTube on and I find a playlist with that, I'm just sticking it in and playing along while I am doing work, especially Jeopardy, where you can pretty much make it an audio program and you can play it in the car.
I agree. It's a great use of format and a great use of resources. So, yeah.
Moving on to... Bell, please. The best and worst new reality show host. Now, these people had to host a show within the calendar year between January 1st, 2024 and December 31st, 2024.
And they could not have hosted anything of that sort beforehand.
Now, this one was an absolute surprise for me. Oh, and by the way, I want you to play the foreshadowing clip when I say this. There's a difference between how smarmy a-hole can come off. One person can do it right, one can do it wrong.
In the business, we call this foreshadowing.
Yes. This guy did it great in a show that it was surprised the hell out of me how much I enjoyed this. It was Joe Manganiello being the banker's lackey on Deal or No Deal Island. He was terrific. He was so good.
I'm going to agree with you on that. Joe Manganiello definitely knew how to hit all the right spots on Deal or No Deal Island. Definitely knew how to keep the game moving. And this show, by its very nature, is a very versatile show, which calls for a very versatile host. Joe Manganiello happens to be that host.
Yeah, and this is how you do smarmy correctly, and I know later we're going to be talking about how you do smarmy incorrectly, but this is how you do smarmy correctly, where you don't mess up the flow of the game, you don't stop it, you just let it keep going, and you make it a life afterthought, and you do a quick hit here, quick hit there. So I'll go with you.
Flipping it around. The worst new reality show host.
You couldn't make me care about mountain climbing less than this guy did. Manu Bennett for the Summit.
Okay. My pick was... Okay, Joel McHale was... We all agree Joel McHale was terrible in House of Villains. What happens when you get Timu Joel McHale for the GOAT? My pick is Daniel Tosh.
And I'm actually surprised that he hasn't hosted a reality show. Now, he has hosted game shows before, but he hasn't hosted a reality show.
Well,
so are you voting that?
I am not. I'm going to go in a completely different direction. It was one of the worst reality shows of the year. So be prepared to hear the anonymous come back. But you not only had an anonymous gameplay, you had an anonymous host. The host was named Danny, and Jason Block, man with the knowledge, explain what that is.
That would be, I know the third, there are three of the four words. That would be digital.
Anonymous network
interface. Networking interface. Or Danny. Okay.
Yeah, it just wasn't good. It wasn't a good idea. It was just bad, bad, bad.
Okay. Well, let's go to good, 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 as in the final award for the first half. Best and Worst new game show host, who, again, had to host a new game show, or host a game show for the first time between January 1st and December 31st, 2024. Now, this one for me is a pleasant surprise. The 1% Club was one of my guilty pleasures of 2024, and the host made it so. And that would be Patton Oswalt. Great conduit, great humor, brought, and I liked him a lot, Patton Oswalt.
You know, Patton Oswalt was really good on the 1% Club, and I loved the 1% Club this summer. And this one came down to a coin flip for me because we had two really good surprises in people that you don't expect them to be game show hosts, and yet they were game show hosts, and they did really well for themselves. My pick is one such cat, and he was the ringmaster of Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity, Travis Kelce.
They were both great. First of all, both shows were executed extremely well. And I thought Kelce was great, and I thought Oswald was great. However, because you guys like two different ones, I'm going to go in a different direction because we had a lot of really good initial game show hosts. And this one may be a very scary choice, and you may say it was even a little killer choice. The game was called Killer Cakes. It was a two-episode thing, which counts. And the host was from Scream, Matthew Lillard. And when you go, what? Okay. Matthew Lillard game show host? Yeah, Matthew Lillard game show host. And he was really good. I got to give him some love there.
Zoinks. You know what? Zoinks indeed. And Travis Kelce definitely planning his post football career. But now we go to the worst new game show host of the year. And this one to me was a no-brainer. Now, when you are hosting a show with the pedigree of being in the Jeopardy family, you don't crap on the product, you don't crap on the contestants, and you just come off as a smarmy, punchable idiot. And it makes the show harder to watch because the show is decent. He just makes it worse.
Worst just ripped the Band-Aid off, Jay.
It's Colin Jost by a mile.
You remember his brother hosted HQ, and all I could say is I know where the hosting talent in that family went.
I'll let Chico go first. I'm going to disagree with Jay a little bit here because I blame some of that on the writing. On that, and I actually think that Colin is going to get better in the next season. However, I've got a stinker. Chico, you're next.
Well, I don't need to say much about Colin Jost that Jay hasn't already said. All I will say is I've never seen a game show host with a more punchable face in my life. And I am a non-violent cat, all right?
No, you're violent on the blackjack table.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that reminds me. This Saturday, I am going to indulge in some blackjack therapy. So,
good. Go for it. But what about you? Are you going to make it a triple, or do you have somebody else?
No, I have somebody else. I have somebody else, and we are going to be chatting about Lucky 13, but I've got to go with Shaquille O'Neal. He was in the Wizard of Chalk Barkley terrible.
And here is the problem with that, okay? And this will come up later. Shaq and Gina Rodriguez were oil and water. You needed one of them, and you couldn't pick them.
I was thinking motor oil and peanut butter because they definitely don't go to, or carburetor fluid and Mentos.
Same idea. And the thing is that if you settled on one host, it would have been better. But the I'm going to say this. Because you had both production companies together and both people who have big egos, no one could say, you know what, I'll back down. And that's what happened. That's just my guess. Your opinion.
No, that's I don't even think that's the issue as much as it was Shaquille's role was completely unnecessary. It was like, okay, well, I want a part in this, and maybe I'll get people to come in and watch. And it was just – it was painful. His throwaway lines going in there was painful. And he's actually – in other things that he has done, he's actually very good. He is not a good game show host, at least not on this one. Bad vehicle form.
Yeah. A rare miss for him, really. Okay? Rare miss.
Speed.
But those are the first hands, and we've got a lot of brain vision to cover, most of which has to do with Jeopardy. Lots of games, lots of stuff, and of course, more awards. So, Chico, take it.
Yes, all the Jeopardy is coming with all the news you didn't even know you need to know. On the other side of this break with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander. Stick and stay with the best and worst of everything on WLTI. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 more people that we're going to make fun of that we'll probably get sued for later. Or at least an attempt cease and desist. Or something that we're going to have to say we apologize and probably to Jason Elliott.
I don't know. We can't print you. I don't think we can say that yet, can we?
No, we can't. But I am readying a Taylor Swift clip in case that happens.
Yeah, that I'm the problem.
Or Justin Bieber saying, is it too late now to say sorry?
No, I was basically like, who's afraid of little old me?
My eardrums are. My eardrums are very afraid of little old you. We'll be back after this.
All right, we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Easy does it. The tree will get trimmed, the dinner will get cooked, and the gifts will get wrapped if you take your time instead of a drink or drugs. Remember, easy does it.
WLTI has been brought to you by the Magically Delicious Hour. You remember the Magically Delicious Minute when Lucky Charms, the leprechaun on Lucky 13, had a little quiz between two contestants that were in the round of 13 and nobody won anything. So now it's the Magically Delicious Hour where we can see the exact same thing about the whole entire show where nobody wins anything and the losers are the people watching. That is the Magically Delicious Hour, soon to be playing Never.
It's magically awkward.
Yeah, why are we doing that? Just out of curiosity. We're doing a game, we're doing a promotion with a game, and people are playing it, and they're part of the 13, and you're not letting any of them win anything. Huh?
I don't get it.
Come on, man.
But what we do need is Mr. Johnny Gilbert.
Before we get to Mr. Johnny Gilbert, we need to talk to Mr. Doug Morris.
That's right. Sorry.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris, for all that you've done over the past years. We really do appreciate it. We love you. And one day we have to have you do that live on this show. But in the meantime...
We would love to have it. Doug is the best. All the voiceovers in 2024. You know, just great, great stuff.
And as a reminder, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and Tracks Productions. And don't forget to listen to him every Sunday as he does Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg, 104.5 on your FM dial, and all over the note, Dan Larson.
Multiverse.
On rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the WXRR Rock 104 app. Now let's talk to Mr. Gilbert.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Okay, Chico, I've got not one, but two super champs for you.
All right, talk to me.
Okay, number one, we have Ashley Chan, okay, who was out after Game 5 and then we have a woman by the name of Laura Fadda, F-A-D-D-A-H, who is now on her seventh game. Now, she stopped for a reason, which we'll get to in a minute, but this is her last game on Friday, December 27th of last week. She was playing Megan Riddell from Lincoln, Maryland, and Herb Jung, a retired pension administrator. At the end of Final Jeopardy, it was a lock for her as she played this category in fictional characters. In his very first appearance by name, this character comes downstairs, bump, 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 on the back of his head.
I know this because I'm a Disney adult.
Mm-hmm.
But who is Winnie the Pooh?
Gordon?
Who is Dumbo after taking two megagrams of Viagra?
Well, yeah. that's a definitely interesting chunk. And
good night, everybody.
Yeah, Megan, who was the only one who got it right, said yes, getting dragged downstairs by one Christopher Robin. So, right now, Laura has a bit of a rest period. Because why? You know, you can do the college anthem right now if you can do it right, you know?
The college anthem. I believe I have that on another board. Oh, here we go.
Is because we are now in Jeopardy postseason. We are going to go through a bunch of tournaments, which will be a lot less time, right, Chico, than the other tournaments this year.
Yeah, we're going to go basically through
March,
and then February, and then that's it.
Okay. So right now we are in week one of the Second Chance Tournament. And on Monday's show, we had Tekla Sauter, Will Yancey, and Alex Mishev. And at the end of Double Jeopardy, it was close. Will with 14,800, Alex with 2,800. And the category for them is geographic names. In 1492, Columbus visited this island in which he named for the country whose flag he flew.
Pick me!
Let's speak to the Latin Panamanian over here. Go ahead.
What is Hispaniola?
That's right. Yes. And, Gordon?
What is Rongovia?
Rongovia. Everybody got it. Yeah, everybody got it right. Will bets correct, so Will moves on. By the way, winner was second place 3,000, third place 2,000. On yesterday's show, we had Mike Ferguson, Caitlin Tarr, and Scott Chang. Going into the final, again, close game. Caitlin 14,400. Scott, 11,400. And this one was a good one. I did not know this one. It's theater etymology. A centuries-old type of performance, this word includes Greek roots meaning imitator of all. Did you know this one?
I did not know this one.
Gordon?
Well, I saw a mimic, I think, way too many times, so I said it was a Madagascar hazy cockroach.
No,
but
well, you got the idea. That is a great movie. So, the only person who got it right, no one got it right, actually, and because Mike said soliloquy, Scott said what is third competition, nice, and what is impressions, and Ken goes, no, he says, you're probably the closest. The roots are pan, which is everyone, and mime, which is imitation, or pantomime. Our good friend Ann Hegarty does that every Christmas time. So Caitlin moves on due to her smart betting, and we go into today's show, where we have Josh Moss, Gino Montoya, and Colleen Matthews. And again, all close scores, 18,600 for Colleen, Gino 11,008, 12,200 for Josh on this category, U.S. President. According to his son Fred, this man first tried smoking just because it was against the rules at West Point. You know this one?
I do know this one because one of the things I did when I was studying for Jeopardy was going over the president's DVDs on the History Channel, most of which are now available on YouTube for free, but it is Ulysses S. Grant.
Gordon?
Oh, I went with Bill Clinton. Just because he didn't inhale.
No, but it is Ulysses S. Grant. But Colleen moves on, and we will find out more second chance semifinalists next week. But you, Chico, have six games of Pop Culture Jeopardy. Stretch and go.
I'm going to be very, very quick with these. Try and keep up. Episode 10 features Pasta La Vista with Maddie Kimberlin, Kyle Webb, and Chris. Maddie Kimberlin and Kyle Webb, both friends of the site, friends of ours. Next, we have Andy, Dick, Tracy, Morgan Freeman of Tim, Ross, and Ryan. Chain Reaction fans, I'm guessing. And the Bay Hive with Christine, Matt, and Gabriella. Going into the final, we have the Bay Hive with 10-4, Pasta La Vista with 6-6, Andy, Dick, Tracy, Morgan Freeman with 2,600. And the final Jeopardy category in movie taglines. A tagline for this 2008 film said, what does it take to find the lost love? A, money. B, luck. C, smarts. D, destiny.
Easy. What is Slumdog Millionaire?
Gordon?
E, what is Pretty Woman?
Nice!
Yeah, everybody, everybody had it, but the Bay Hive wins, not Price is Right style, but enough to move on to the quarterfinals. In episode 11, we have
Triple D Dragon,
Charleston, Justin, and Andre. For Queso the Cat, Alex, Josh, and Anna Marie, by the way. Anna Marie, new friend of the site, new friend of ours. And the last resort, Ailish, Steve, and Ashley.
Going into the final, the last resort had 21-2. For Queso the Cat had 28. Triple D Dragons had 7,000. The category is 2020 TV, I believe.
Rita Rutner and Elaine May were character inspirations, according to one of the writers who created this show that debuted in 2021.
Easy, because again, older female comedians, what is Hacks?
I know Jason, Gordon, and myself have been called to that before.
Right.
And we'll be called it again.
Yes, and the only person who got it right was for Queso the Cat, and they move on to the quarterfinals. Game 12, Chico, if you got
it. Game 12 features Running Up That Chili, Derek Joseph and Michael, the Anabraniacs, Andrew Alina and Evan, and Cozy Trivia Crew with Radhika, Vanchika, and Alaric. Going into the final, the scores are Running Up That Chili, 20,400. The other two teams, not even close. They lock it away. Here's their final Jeopardy category, Rap Albums, The Clue. The final track of this award-winning album from 2017 tells the story of Top Dog meeting the rapper's dad, Ducky.
K-Dot, Kendrick Lamar, What Is... Damn!
Yep.
I had What Is 69 Mile.
Okay.
Hey, it made everybody say damn.
Yeah, it did. But again, it was a locked game. It didn't seem to beat anything.
Yep, Running Up That Chili only bet a point, and they move on. Now we go to episode 13, which features the Twisted Misters, Andrew, Victor, and Weber, against Karen's Last, Zini, Ben, Rachel, and John, against the Trebekis, Martin, Molly, and Thomas. Going into the final, we have Twisted Misters at 27,800, Karen's Last, Zini is 13,000, and the Trebekis at 2,000. It is another lock game here.
By the way, can you put the whole Fender alarm on this one? Please? Why? No, why? Because they were the season 2 champions of the World Series of Pop Culture.
Yep, they were. Your category in Final Jeopardy is Song Title Inspiration. Your clue. A scene in Young Frankenstein, where Igor met the doctor at a train station, gave Aerosmith the idea for this song title.
Walk This Way. Great movie. Great movie. What's Walk This Way? What is Walk This Way?
Gordon?
I had... What is Dude Looks Like an Abby Normal?
Ooh, very good. I like that one, actually.
You look like Abby Normal, yeah.
The Twisted Misters of the World Series of Pop Culture fame don't need to bet a point. They don't. They move on, and we go to episode 14, which features only winners in the building, Elise, Mackenzie, and Jessica. By the way, friends of the site, and former Jeopardy, and former... Actually, I believe all three of them are WOJs, Jay.
I'm looking on... Yeah, they
Brown and Mackenzie... I can't remember her last name, but I don't...
Mackenzie Jones, Elise... Mackenzie Jones was in the tournament. Elise Nussbaum and Jessica Babbitt were alternates because this was COVID at the time.
Yes. So, yeah, all three of them with WOJs, and we love our WOJs in the building.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we also have the recruits, Kate, Neil, and Cecily, and the latchkey three, Michael, Donna, and Eric. Going into the final, we have only winners of the building, 22-4, the recruits, 18-4, and the latchkey three, 4,000. Two-man race. As we go into a Final Jeopardy category of Geography Lesson. A hub of Black life and music, the third of this city's historical six wards, is the childhood home of a world-famous singer and her sister.
I'm hoping it's Houston.
I'm hoping it's Houston, too. Gordon?
It is Houston. It is Houston.
Yep. Gordon?
Gordon?
Yeah, hi. Parton.
No.
All the sisters.
There's no Parton in Texas, good sir.
There should be.
No, by the way, and I was right on who I thought it was, because that is the home of Beyonce and her sister Solange.
Yep.
So.
Beyonce, big singer. Solange, also a good singer.
Mm-hmm. Only winners in the building advance. Again, not a surprise.
The final episode of this week's drop, which is the team. Carmen, Caitlin, and Tin, I guess it's the A team. Maybe they're all from Canada. Carmen, Caitlin, and Danny, married with the third wheel, Kevin, Barbara, and Mike, and Scruffy Duffies, Ian, Alec, and Nicholas. Going into the final, we have married with the third wheel, 22,200, Scruffy Duffies, 10,4, and the A team, 6,200. It is another lot game. Here is the final Jeopardy category. At the movies, The Clue. The director called this film about a bunch of Gen Zers with no cell service. Lord of the Flies meets Mean Girls.
I did not see this film because I had to look this up because I'm not in the horror genre. I don't know if you did, Gordon. What is Bodies, Bodies, Bodies? Did you?
I did. I actually knew that one. That's one of the ones that I can seriously say asked me a hard one. Great movie, by the way. But if you wanted me to be sort of silly, I went, well, who is Wes Craven the Hunter?
You know what? That would have sold more tickets.
That definitely would have sold more tickets.
You know what? Morpheus watching Crescro would have scored more tickets.
Right. So
now taking you to Morpheus watching paint dry. Or Morpheus in Chico's office watching blood dry.
Right.
How quickly does it take for blood to dry, Mr. Medtech?
Blood doesn't dry. It coagulates.
That's right. Sort of like crying, isn't it?
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, okay. it's all this science thing. It's a whole thing. I'll explain it to you later. But there we have our six. Now you're caught up with pop culture Jeopardy.
So wait, the marriage with a third wheel was the one who advanced. You forgot about that.
Yeah, well, that was a foregone conclusion. But anyway, speaking of foregone conclusions, let's talk about a show that premiered over the last couple of weeks. Oh, boy. Do we have to talk about this show? Yes, we do. It's a game.
Yes, we do.
It is called Beast Games. And yes, it is the show that everybody, for good and bad, could not stop talking about over the past month.
And it is number one in a lot of countries, actually, for a reason. I'm not saying that it is a bad show or a good show. It is a hyped-up, steroided version of the Mr. Beast YouTube channel, where you play different games, and 1,000 people are trying to win $5 million, and there's challenges, and there's bailouts, and yeah, that's pretty much what it is. If you like Mr. Beast, you'll like this. If you don't, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that is an extension of the Mr. Beast brand, and in practice, it looks and smells like a Squid Game ripoff, because if you ask me, it is indeed a Squid Game ripoff.
Well, wait. How can you say it's a Squid Game ripoff when Mr. Beast has been around before the Squid Games? You could actually say Squid Game was a Mr. Beast ripoff. And keep in mind, Mr. Beast did a version of Squid Games, which, by the way, was much better than Netflix's version of Squid Games.
And we're talking
about, really going to go in that direction.
Challenge. We're talking about Squid Game, the challenge, not the actual dramatic TV show from Korea. That is
correct. Correct. Why? Yes. I happen to be a Mr. Beast fan. I think the show is very much, and I think Chico, you and Jay are both right, the show is an extension of the Mr. Beast library of videos and stuff that he's done. He does have a couple of interesting games and mental, shall we say, challenges that bleep up your brain in terms of certain things. And part of the Mr. Beast universe is how big of a train wreck can we make? That's who he is. That doesn't make the gameplay any less. If you don't like him, that doesn't make that gameplay any good or bad or whatever. The production values are great, expecting that Amazon's going to be giving you $100 million for your show. So there's the games don't suck. as Chico has said, you know, betraying people for the team, that has been something that Mr. Beast is known for in his videos. And you can, there's many examples of this, like the age stuff, the kids versus adults, men versus women, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are all games that he has had, and he's just supersized them. The beer pong, ping pong, and the cup has been done in Charlie the Chocolate Factory trying to throw a Mento into a Coca-Cola bottle, for that matter. So part of it is there's nothing new, but the reason why there's nothing new is that he's taking off, ripping off himself more than anything else. I don't have an issue with the show. And you get to see some of the characters in the later episodes. You get to see more of the characters and the people that are involved. So you're going to see, okay, these people are there for the distance. But if you're starting off with 2,000 people, you have to eliminate a lot of people quickly. So I don't have an issue with it. I don't think it's as bad as what everybody is saying. If you're going there to see Survivor, you're not going to. But if, again, if you want to see what can Mr. Beast do with $100 million, you're not going to be disappointed, at least not yet. B minus.
Okay.
I'll split the difference and say C plus, because I think the brand is tarnished. I'm appreciative of the success of the show, but I just still think this is not Mr. Beast enough. C-plus.
But what is the tarnishing of the brand due to outside sources have anything to do with the game itself?
Zero.
So I don't know why that is affecting your grade. But
it's not affecting it's not affecting my grade. I'm just saying, to me, this could have been a lot better for me. That's all.
Well, if it could have been a lot better, you know, and again, we've only seen, I think, 3 episodes have come out as of us shooting this.
Yes, I believe it's 3 or 4. I have to look.
It's 3. Four does not come out until tomorrow as we shoot this.
Yes.
But
so,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm still thinking to myself, I've seen Mr. Beast do his own channel better than what he's doing for Prime Video. It's like Prime Video gave you $14 million to create this monstrosity of a show. What are you doing with the money? Because you're not doing much with the show.
$14 million, but yeah.
All right. No real way to segue to this, but we lost a couple of legends in our field these couple of weeks. The first one was somebody who was directly involved in a couple of shows that we spent our lives watching. Maybe you've heard of them. That's Incredible. Good Morning America, The Mike Douglas Show, Wild and Crazy Kids, Wild Animal Games, What Would You Do? Heard of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be Woody Frazier. We lost him at the age of 90. He was nominated for some Daytime Emmy Awards for The Mike Douglas Show, The Dick Cavett Show, Good Morning America, and The Richard Simmons Show. He has also been instrumental in bringing Wild and Crazy Kids to Nickelodeon and bringing sort of the hybrid variety game show What Would You Do to Nickelodeon with Mark Summers. He also did the Family Challenge on Family Channel with Ray Combs and Will Schreiner, I believe, hosted season 2, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but again, big producer, influenced a bunch of shows, and, you know.
Well, it's not just that. It's also the fact that, you know, from a generation standpoint, there's a lot of stuff that he did that is emulated to this day to day. And as I said earlier, this is a really bad year in terms of us losing icons, and not just people in front of the screen, but behind it. This one's painful.
And then last Friday, we lost somebody who was almost a televised game show host. Almost. And that would be Greg Gumbel, legendary podcaster. Not many people know this, but he was almost the host of a reboot of the $64,000 question, which would have been CBS's response to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And I have the statement from CBS News. It is with profound sadness that we share the passing of our beloved husband and father, Greg Gumbel. Passed away peacefully, surrounded by much love after a courageous battle with cancer. Greg approached his illness like one would expect he would, with stoicism, grace, and positivity. He leaves behind a legacy of love, inspiration, and dedication to over 50 extraordinary years in the sports broadcast industry, and his iconic voice will never be forgotten. Greg's memory will forever be treasured by his family, dearest friends, colleagues, and all who loved him.
And on a personal level,
I was about to ask, did you work with him?
I did. And as a personal level, I'm going to say a couple other things. Number one, when he hosted Super Bowl 35 in 2001, that was the first African-American announcer to call play-by-play of a major sports championship in the United States. So that's there. He was on the NFL at CBS during the same time period that I was on. I wasn't on it. I was working on the show NFL on CBS. You definitely didn't see me on TV. But I was there. Class guy, class act, amazing human being. He's going to be severely missed. And just what a pioneer, not just for sports in general, but again, as a human being, he was fantastic to work with.
Now, was he the younger brother or the older brother of Brian?
I don't know. That is a good question.
I believe he is the younger brother of Brian.
But he's 78 and Brian, no, older.
Oh, really?
Brian is 76. And Greg died at 78. So, yes. I thought he was the older one. I thought Greg was the younger one. I always thought that.
You know, the irony of the situation was I was at CBS in the late 90s. In the mid-90s. In the mid-90s, right before then, I was at NBC, and I was almost at that same time period with Brian Gumbel. So I never got to work with him, but if I got there a couple of years earlier, I would have.
Wow. And by the way, his career lasted from 1988 till that was he was a 35-year CBS guy.
He was there for 35 years for CBS. I believe he was in the industry. I think you guys said it for 50 years.
Close to it.
Yep.
So now can we have a moment of silence?
Indeed.
Thank you.
Chico, no way to do it, but we need the Concord, please.
All right.
So you have one.
I do. And it is something that we talked about earlier as a pilot, but now it's going to series. It's something called The Perfect Line from CBS Media Ventures. It features Deborah Norville as host. And The Perfect Line promises a new take on visual trivia. Contestants will play a series of games where they will test their knowledge by arranging events, items, or people in the correct order to create the perfect line. Each round, contestants are eliminated, leaving the last person standing to play the final round for a grand prize. Deborah Norville says, I grew up watching way too many game shows and I've always wanted to do one. Don't all first-timers say that? But anyway, with The Perfect Line, I found the right format. The show is a fast, smart take on trivia and pop culture with tidbits of stuff you didn't know. It's played in a way that you got a chance to win, even if you're just guessing. Plus, as a journalist, I love that I get to share fun facts you'll want to pass along to your friends. Oh my God, the corporate.
Oh, and by the way, timeline on line one from Let's Make a Deal, by the way.
The end game for 3IQ on line two.
Time machine on line three, by the way, also.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of calls. We need a call screener for this one. But you know what? Well, seriously, Tom. If they pair this with Flipside, you got a good game show hour that can replace something.
You do.
I'm not sure about replacement. In addition to, in syndication, you want the hour block, a.k.a. Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, for argument's sake.
Right.
Or our version of Let's Make a Deal, or our version of Price is Right, et cetera, ad nauseum. So that would not be a bad thing. Does it work in terms of a partnership? Maybe. I was thinking more of the maybe Pictionary or 25 words or less route, partnered up with them. Or a person, mm-hmm. place, or thing. Just saying.
Or make that make that fourth street, because remember, 25 words or less and Pictionary and person, place, or thing, all very solid performers and all in the same block, so to speak.
In most syndication areas, yes.
Believe me, when I take my dad to physical therapy, it's usually 25 words first, person, place, or thing second, and Pictionary third.
I believe that's on I-9 in your area.
Actually, it's my WNYW, Channel 5.
Oh, so it's a sister station.
Yes. Well, I think my 9 is a sister station of 5, but whatever. They're both Fox owned.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying.
So, oh my God, Gordon, you had to pay a lot of shipping for this date book because it's now a new year, lots of new programming.
Yep. Spurs, can you handle it, mm-hmm. or do you need a one of those truck dolly wheel thingies?
No, I'm good. Okay, so January 2nd, Thursday, starts the new year with the winter premiere of Hell's Kitchen. And Daily Trivia Live on Swagbucks, that's back?
That's still a thing.
Oh, man, my God.
It's I was going to say, don't call it a comeback. It never left.
It's still of its former self, but it's still a thing.
Friday is the premiere of Love is Blind Germany on Netflix. RuPaul's Drag Race and Untucked premieres on MTV. You got more twists and turns. By the way, I saw the preview for it. I'll give you a little hint on it, if that's okay. The Masic Challenge is Drag Queen's Got Talent for the first 2 weeks. Raida Queen is back. And the queens will perform, and the other group of seven will rate each other, and the bottom two will lip sync for their life. And also, there was one other twist I forgot. Oh yeah, I think they're going to rate each other or something like. And they're going to determine who goes in week one and week two. So we'll see. Sunday is the winter premiere of America's Funniest Home Videos and Works Cooks in America, Heroes versus Villains. Yay. Okay. Monday is the Amazing Animals Kids Baking Championship.
Jay, is Boston Rob going to be on there?
What, the Worst Cook in America?
Yeah. Heroes versus Villains.
You know what? Let me check.
He's been on everything else.
I know. Heroes v. Villains.
Probably.
Worst Cooks. Hold on here.
Live research.
Let's see. It's season 28. So here we go. You got Sebastian Bach from Skid Row, Cheryl Burke, Dancing with the Stars, Frankie Grande. Ariana's brother. Adam Rippon, Trinity the Tuck, Wes Bergman, Bartice Bowden, Kareen Olympios, Tiffany New York Pollard, Rachel Riley. Yes.
If it wasn't one, it was the other one.
Friend of the site.
Rachel Riley, who never met a reality show check she didn't like.
Yeah, exactly. That would be interesting to sort of watch, maybe, kind of.
Sort of like train wreck watch, in a way.
I mean, you have Trinity the Chuck, you have Rachel Riley. That could be a good idea.
No, we're not done yet, though. With the
baseball. I'm sorry, keep going.
Okay. Tuesday is the season premiere of Deal or Don't Deal Island and Wildcard Kitchen, which you said could be, it's got something there if you really work through it.
Yeah, there's a game in there somewhere.
Okay. And Wednesday, we have the season premieres of Price is Right at Night, Celebrity Jeopardy, Raid the Cage, and Special Forces World Toughest Test. I mean, I have Haterade. I know we don't have it here in this, but I do have Haterade if you want to.
I've got Are You Smarter Then, so let's go.
Okay.
Okay.
Needless to say, all of this scheduling is very smart.
Yes. This.
Not so much.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
So what do you got?
Are you smarter than James or Jamie Kennedy, who was arrested after allegedly getting into an alleged altercation with his girlfriend, Allie Luber? This is a lot of allegedly because I don't want a lawsuit subpoena for Christmas.
Or no. No. No, but this Haterade is good Haterade. Trust me on this one.
Okay.
Okay. Does anyone know Michelle Buteau from Too Hot to Handle
and The Circle?
Okay. So she had a new special on Netflix, which dropped this week, becoming the first woman to headline a comedy special at Radio City Music Hall, was taped last June.
Which is neat, by the way. That is cool.
Right. So it was called Michelle Buteau, a Buteauful Mind. And she told jokes about her, and I'm going to, a black lesbian friend. She basically went off on Dave Chappelle and his anti-trans jokes. Quote, and I saw this, "We can tell jokes and stories and not disparage a whole community," she said. "We can do that. We can make it funny. We just have to work at it. So if you guys are ever running to Dave Chappelle, can you let him know that poop? I don't think he know that poop." And then they cheered, and she said she called Chappelle the GOAT, not greatest of all time, but going off on trans people. "Dave, it's not funny. It's dangerous. Make it funny." And then she goes, "I can't believe someone would make millions and millions of dollars for making people unsafe. That is so wild to me. I want to make millions and millions of dollars for making people feel safe, seen, secure, heard, and entertained. That is my goal." Good for you, Michelle. Thank you very much. Great.
Okay. Can I say something on this, unfortunately? So I'm going to add a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
If he's going to spew and he's going to make millions of dollars on that, whose fault really is it? Is it Dave Chappelle or is it spend money on it?
It's Netflix.
It's human beings.
Yeah.
So let's add to that, and I got some more Haterade. Chico Q Zombies.
Brains!
Even though this technically is not a game show, it is a competition show, and it is a crossover with wrestling. Because December 27th, 2024, will be, or is, depending on when you're listening to this, the last episode of AEW Rampage. And in addition to that, if you're on USA Network, if you're watching this, the last episode of Raw on USA will have also have ended.
Yeah, but that's only because they're putting it on, I believe they're putting it on Disney Plus.
No, Netflix, dude.
Oh, see, they haven't pumped it enough. That's the problem.
Dude, they have been promoting their Netflix for about the last 6 weeks.
That's the joke!
Yeah, the Netflix show. Yes, oh, yeah, exactly. So, So yes. So yeah, a couple of wrestling zombies. And no, you can actually say that. Well, no, you can't. But actually, you could talk about the Raw stuff because of Cody Rhodes and the Go Big Show. So it works.
Yeah.
But we need to go to, we're going to need to go somewhere. Where are we sending everybody?
We are going to Mexico for the new season of Casa de los Famosos, or Big Brother VIP, as the Anglos would call it.
Okay.
This is Casa de los Famosos All-Stars, though. And it's coming to Telemundo in the new year, with Jimena Gallego being joined by new host Javier Poza. Javier Poza is the third male host to helm the show since its premiere in 2021. He comes from the official Latin American version of Strictly, the format we know as Dancing with the Stars. Mira quien baila. So that's so he comes with a pedigree and he comes with experience. He replaces Hector Sandarti, who, if you remember, was the host of Telemundo's version of Deal or No Deal, Vas o No Vas.
I like Vas or No Vas. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, I like Mira Quien Baila, so I'm willing to give Javier Poza and Casa de los Famosos All Stars a shot. It'll start in February on Telemundo.
There you go. But Gordon, you have one thing, and one thing to do is you need to reveal your media pro of 2024.
I got pros. I got pros in different area codes.
Area
codes.
Well, it's interesting because I'm going to veer a little bit left instead of right and right instead of left. Because
okay.
you would think I would go Victoria Gross because of everything that she has done this year, except she's done a lot of game show stuff. She hasn't done really a lot of media pro stuff. You would also think that maybe there is someone that's going to be president in a month that I may go, well, he's a big media pro. He's now the president, except he didn't really do anything in the game show world, and I think that could be more of an effect on television next year, not this year. So instead, I am the biggest media pro that I can think of is someone that just got $100 million from Amazon to put up a show, grew up his network despite everything else that's happened, and has got the biggest show right now that's currently streaming, and that would be Jimmy Mr. Beast Donaldson.
That's a very good choice. That is an absolutely very good choice.
He has been consistently in the news the whole entire year. He did the Squid Game stuff. He's done lots of stuff. He's got not just the Mr. Beast channel, but he's offshoot himself in a couple of other different streams. I want to say networks. It's not really a network. I would say more channels.
But I will just say this, though. I want to throw in a different guy because I would have picked Victoria Gross as well. But I want to throw in Ryan Seacrest. Because Ryan Seacrest slipped into the shoes of Wheel of Fortune and has absolutely, absolutely nailed it, combined with the fact he's got American Idol, combined the fact he was just in New York with our good friend Adam Wurzel to do New Year's Rockin' Eve for, by the way, his 20th year this year. He's been doing that 20 years. He didn't think he would be doing it that long, but he is it. So Ryan Seacrest is up there for me, too.
Now, you don't see many people his age have the kind of career that he has, and now he's basically showing absolutely no signs of slowing down. We see him on Wheel of Fortune. We're going to see him on American Idol. We hear him on 1840. Of course, last night, he was dropping the ball on Times Square. Rest in peace, Dick Clark. But again, Pro of the Year, which would be somebody who affected the public consciousness for good and for bad, and Mr. Beast has done both. So, yeah.
Indeed. So,
and
with
those,
that, yes.
And those are your hosts.
And that is Brain Vision. For the first time in 2025, Jason, there's the button.
And I'm hitting it right here.
Okay, now we are getting into the later awards, which is the big six, I want to say, for our best and worst of everything 2024 edition. Reality show hosts, game show hosts, new reality show, new game show, and of course, reality show and game show, all on the other side of this, here on We Love to Interrupt. We'll be right back. WLTI's Best and Worst of Everything 2024 has been brought to you by Wheel of Florchin. Yes, it's an ever-changing, ever-omnipresent wheel that changes its structure every time somebody spins it. And you could have $500 or $5,000 a letter if you are lucky enough to spin that much in the game. That is Wheel of Florchin. We have yet to genetically splice Ryan Seacrest and Rob Lowe together, but we are working on that. The science does exist.
Yeah. It does, but we need to get back to our award ceremony here, and let's do it with the best and worst reality show host of the past year. That one, again, the best one is easy for me because he has been the best reality show host for a while and no real senses of slowing down. Nobody gets answers out of people better than him. No one moves the show along better than him. No one really just is what he is, and that's Jeff Probst of Survivor.
I agree with you. Jeff Probst is the best reality show host, and for good reason. He knows how to bring out the best in the moment, bring out the best in players. He knows how to move the game along. He can basically host Survivor with his eyes closed, but please do it with open eyes.
He is, but there's a lot of really good hosts. You can put in Phil Keegan, but in this case, I'm going to put in RuPaul.
Oh, okay.
His empire has grown and grown and grown. You have Global All-Stars. As much as I've had issues with that show for a number of reasons, you can easily fix it. He's done tweaks on his shows before. He's done tweaks on All-Stars. And from a global perspective, I understand Jeff Probst, but Jeff Probst is national. And from a global perspective, it's got to be RuPaul.
All right. I see you. I see you. Now we go to the worst reality show host. And I'm going to start right here. Joel McHale, bad on House of Villains. What's worse than Joel McHale? Like I said before, Sheehan, Joel McHale, and that would be Daniel Tosh. I love what he does on Tosh.0, but as host of The GOAT, he is not.
I would rather pay for Whole Foods than to go to the local market. It's Joel McHale. He was terrible on The GOAT.
He was really bad, and I'm trying to think if there's anyone that was remotely close. But there isn't. Joel McHale.
Okay. Now we move to the best and worst game show host. This one was easy for me. Right now, believe it or not, Ken Jennings is starting his fifth year as the host of Jeopardy. And I'm not talking about as full time. Remember, he had to fill in for 6 weeks in 2020, right?
Now,
in
the early 2020. Week of Alex Trebek's passing, yes.
But right now, the show is his, and the show is better for it. It's Ken Jennings.
Much respect to Ken Jennings. This is not an easy category to grade, but if you think about it, one person has been on the public conscience. One person has had the weight of the world following a legend in the past year, and one person has done it flawlessly, if not effortlessly. My pick for host of the year is Ryan Seacrest.
And again, I'm gonna split off from both of you. You can have those two. You can have Steve Harvey, who's having a banner year, but I'm going with Wayne Brady because, again, he's not just hosting, he's conduiting, he's improvising, he's making an entertainment show out of Let's Make a Deal, and therefore I got to give it to him on that.
All right.
And you know what? And here's the thing. There are a lot more other good ones, believe it or not.
There's a ton. This year it's going to be really competitive for who wins game show host.
Exactly, and believe
Meredith
me,
Vieira, Jerry O'Connell, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Melissa Peterman, don't forget Melissa Peterman.
Absolutely,
you know she's really good.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, and again, this year, if you get nominated, you absolutely deserve the nomination.
Yes, it's really tough. By the way, as I said to you before, if Drew Carey put himself in the nominations, he would have at least two or three by now.
I would agree with you on that.
And that's the scary part. Okay. Now we need
scary
to go to
for the people.
Okay. And to me, this one again was an easy choice for me. You don't poop where you work. Colin Jost, Pop Culture Jeopardy.
Agreed.
You know, I was gonna go rogue here a little bit, but I really can't.
Let me hear what your rogue choice is. I'm just curious.
My rogue choice would have been Jay Farrell, The Quiz with Balls.
That's a good one too. Don't get me wrong. That's a bad one.
A good bad one.
But the difference is this. I think Jay Farrell was stuck with a. I don't want to say a bad product, but a bad product in terms of that. So I'll go with Colin Jost.
Yeah. I thought The Quiz with Balls was strike programming, wasn't it?
It was.
It was. And Jay Farrell is very funny, and he's really good. As I said, he got caught in a bad thing with bad writing.
Yeah, wrong place, wrong time. I get it.
Let's get one thing straight. Jay Farrell is a really good host. That being said, The Quiz with Balls is a really bad show.
There you go. Now we go to the best and worst new reality show, which premiered between January 1st, 2024, and December 31st, 2024. And this one shocked the ever-living poop out of me. I did not expect to like this. I was very mad when they announced it as strike programming. But damn, if this show didn't grow on me due to the way they got Survivor and Deal or No Deal to be together. It's Deal or No Deal Island, and it's not even close.
It wasn't even close for me, but it wasn't Deal or No Deal Island. Deal or No Deal Island for me was okay. I thought there were some structural issues with the show that need to be fixed on that. And I think a lot of it's solid, but no, for me, it's, believe it or not, I'm going to go right back over into Foodland. Harry Potter, Wizards of Baking, was a fun show. They really got into the spirit of it. They really kept the whole thing uniform, and something that could have been very Xeroxy in terms of fumes wound up having its own genre and its own feel to it. I really liked it.
I am going to agree with Jason.
You would.
Yeah. Deal or No Deal Island is a very good show. It does have a little bit of polishing to do, but again, it's one of those shows with the best elements of Survivor, the best elements of Deal or No Deal, and it and all together, it makes for a very entertaining watch. And now we go to the worst reality, worst new reality show. Okay, Beast Games would be an easy pull for me because reasons, but there's just one show that you just have to wonder how the hell it made it out of the writer's room, and that would be OMG Fashion.
Yeah, well, I was going to say there's a lot of worse things that are out there than the Beast, Jay.
Yeah, what I was about to say is that for me, no one makes me want to care less about climbing a mountain. Sorry, it was the summit on CBS. That was just terrible.
It was annoying, but it wasn't mean-spirited. I mean, it sort of was, but there are two shows that, for me, were really mean-spirited. And it's like, why am I watching this? One was The Anonymous with the anonymous host. And the other one was The Trust, which really is showing my lack of faith in humanity. That watching that show made me sad.
If you want to see the decline of humanity in real time, TikTok is literally right there.
It wouldn't it wouldn't surprise me if TikTok sponsored
a game of greed.
Yes. Anytime it's labeled a game of greed, it's like, oh.
Unless it's greed.
I like greed, but like the Dick Clark version.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. And Brooke Baldwin, you could do so much better. Sorry. Next one.
That would be the Shiny Floor Stuff, the best new game show. And I'm going to...
Go for it.
It's a show that started out slow, but gained an audience, gained a following, and last month gained the coveted post-Super Bowl slot. My pick for the best new game show, The Floor.
Well, I like The Floor, but to me, it's repetitive in its execution. I'm not saying it's bad. I know people who work on The Floor and were very happy of its success. But to me, a show that really showed its brains was the 1% Club. I enjoyed that one a lot. Made me think. I was really happy about this one.
Yeah, for me, it's 1% Club. I'm hoping that it doesn't turn into a repetitive version of The Floor in the next season. Because, again, the questions, when you see the first couple of episodes of the 1% Club, you can sort of figure out the pattern that they're looking for with the rest of the questions. So they're going to have to up their game because you know the contestants are going to be upping theirs, or they're going to be doing a lot of splits. But I do like the 1% Club. But also a quick shout out, honorable mention, After Midnight.
Definitely.
A really well done version of the remake. That's there, even though for me, I liked 1% better, but After Midnight's got to get some sort of honorable mention.
And by the way, do not sleep on Taylor Tomlinson. She is funny. She is really funny, and she's snark in a good way. She's really snark in a good way.
Yeah, if Matthew Lillard wasn't there and did such a smack bang-up job, I would have gone that way, too, in terms of host. But yeah, she's really good, and I think that show's only going to get better.
Yep. Taylor Tomlinson understood the assignment as the kid.
Yes, she did. And that is how you do snark correctly, by the way.
Yes, exactly. Next one is the worst new game show. And the disappointment in this show, and I will be honest, all this disclosure here, we know people who work on this show, and I know people who have been on the show and have auditioned, like myself. The sadness of Lucky 13 winning its time slot, but getting canceled due to the fact that they had a Ponzi scheme of a finance stuff is really sad for me.
The issue was that they were, the financials was the issue, was that they were going to hope that they were going to be getting the advertiser dollar, which they thought would have been more than what they would have been paid on the contract. The problem, the problem wasn't the Ponzi scheme. The problem was they put the show A, in the summer where the ratings are low to begin with, and B, in the summer against the Olympics.
Right. Yes.
So yeah, they won their time slot, but well, they didn't win their time slot. Their demographics won the time slot in terms of counter programming, which is all well and good, but they didn't get the numbers that they thought they were going to be getting in, and that's very sad for me, which is why for me, Lucky 13 is not the worst show. I mean, it's not a great show by any imagination, but for me, it's not the worst game show just because they had a show and it was there and it was decent. You know, on that. But for me, for the same reasons I mentioned, it was a show that was very slow paced and got very repetitive early. The quiz with balls.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I get that. I'm going with, I'm going with Lucky 13 because not so much because the show itself was bad, but there was so much wasted potential on that show, and the fact that it was canceled pretty much bore that out. And the way that it was canceled also bore that out. So for me, the worst show is Lucky 13.
Okay, now it's time.
The real disappointment is, it could have been a very good show.
Now we are down to our final two awards of the podcast. Best and worst overall reality show. Now, the best one to me is simple. When this show decided to cut 13 days off of its show and it, in its new era due to COVID, everyone went, wow, speeding it up is going to ruin everything. And wrong. It has not only tightened everything up, it has made the gameplay better. And the show is improving on itself as it heads to its big 50th show in 2026. It's Survivor by a mile.
I agree. And here's the thing. You have a bunch of factors tightening up the gameplay. You have the players adapting to the gameplay. And two of the best players in Kenzie Petty and Rachel Lamont coming from that tightened gameplay. And the show's only going to get better from here, I think. So, yeah, it's Survivor.
Survivor had this year, Survivor had two fantastic seasons. And as much as, you know, I like to be contrarian on this, I can't. Not this year. Survivor.
Okay. Now, the worst reality show of 2024. Wow. And there's a lot of them. You come back to me. You, Chico, who you got?
You have a Sheehan version of Joel McHale and a Timu version of House of Villains on a Dollar General version of Netflix. My worst show is The Goat.
Jason's right. There are so many really rotten shows that are there. I've got to go Anonymous.
I'll throw a third one in there, and that's House of Villains. Because House of Villains, you have people you don't give a flying beep about playing a game you don't want them to win, and people are entertained by this. Not me. So there's
people
that.
This?
Yeah. Okay. Now, finally.
Okay, we're gonna flip it around for these last two. We're gonna start. We're gonna start with the worst game show of 2024.
Well, bad.
And it's painfully obvious if you've been paying attention. Go ahead, Jay.
No, go ahead.
It's painfully obvious if you've been paying attention, because everything from the execution to the presentation to the behind-the-scenes drama resulting from that show, Lucky 13 is basically what happens when you take every decision about a show and you make the wrong ones every single time. It's Lucky 13.
For me, it's Lucky 13. And the thing is that I am very sad about this, because it could have been better if done in so many different ways, but the execution was just awful in so many different ways. So, yeah.
Yeah, and this is one not usually, as I said, I like to be contrarian, but not for a best, well, actually, that's not true, but now I'm going to go with Lucky 13.
Okay. Now, the final award of this past year, the best game show of 2024. Now, you can say that Jeopardy finally getting back on there, and of course, our good friend Brian Henniker getting into the semifinals of the Tournament of Champions. But no show had a better year than this one. Not only did the daytime version of this show succeed, the nighttime version of this show was actually better. With great themes, better prizes, and just beautiful execution, The Price is Right had its best year in years. For me, the best game show of 2024 is Fremantle's The Price is Right.
All right. For my money, and again, it's like the cream of the crop just seemed to be getting very, very well done and better than well done. Family Feuds had a great year. The Price is Right had a great year. Let's Make a Deal's had a great year. Wheel of Fortune has had its best year in ages, I think. But a show that is basically turning poop into shinola, making the best of a bad situation, I like to say, with all of its tournaments. We did have some great champions this year, and we did have some great gameplay, and Ken Jennings is embracing his role as the heir apparent to Alex Trebek. My pick for the best game show of 2024 is Jeopardy.
But you also forget, and I will piggyback on this, Gordon, before I go to you. Mm-hmm. Jeopardy is expanding the brand with pop culture Jeopardy. Jeopardy Bar League and all the, you know, Jeopardy Masters. It's doing things right.
More Jeopardy, less, and it's not diluting the brand. It's expanding and enhancing the brand.
Yeah, as I said earlier, all these shows have had really good years this year, and it's really tough. I could easily go Let's Make a Deal. I could go Wheel of Fortune. But I agree with Jay. No group has had a better year than The Price is Right in terms of the quality and what they've been churning out. And they've just gotten better. And Jay's right. This has been one of their best seasons in years. Jeopardy, I think, has had a fantastic season. But as Chico said, there's too many tournaments. So you're going to ding that off a little bit, because, again, we're talking best. And whereas Victoria Gross had a master year, that's not Jeopardy, that's on Victoria Gross. If you're talking overall product this year, for me, it's Price is Right.
So, yes. So there we have the best and worst of everything for 2024. We're going to have our thoughts on 2024 and our plugs and all that stuff in sort of a slow down version of the speed round right after this. This is We Love to Interrupt on 5 and 1. One more segment to go. We'll be right back.
WLTI has been brought to you by Grizzlebee's. It's Wheel of Fortune Pancakes. It's the Price's Minute Rice. It's Double Bacon Jeopardy, because we like breakfast. And why not? You should. Breakfast is fun, especially when you have That's My Raspberry Jam. And of course, everything is pressed, with a little luck included. That is Grizzlebee's. You wish you'll had less fun.
Grizzlebee's!
Indeed. So, gentlemen, 2025 is upon us. Chico, I'd like to ask your reflections on 2024.
Well,
and you're fine for 2025.
Now, 2024 has been a game changer, if you would, because we're not seeing so many changes in the creative side of things. I mean, the best shows are the best shows, and they continue to be the best shows. But what we are seeing is how what we are seeing changed is how game shows, by and large, are being brought to the masses. You have Netflix, you have Prime Video embracing the streaming model, and networks also embracing the streaming model. Remember, we had shared window agreements between Fox and Prime Video for the 1% Club. I think that's going to continue should 1% get a second season. And I see no reason why it shouldn't. And yeah, that's pretty much the story going forward. It's like embracing the new way of doing things, I guess you could say. So let's keep embracing that model.
Gordon?
I'm going to go a little bit of a different track. I thought 2024 was a great year in game shows. But I'm going to do 5 predictions in terms of what I think we're going to be seeing in 2025. Number one, more streaming media. More people like a Mr. Beast coming into play. And when YouTube numbers in terms of hours are doing better than most networks, and Jimmy Donaldson coming in and doing what he's doing with Amazon and getting those numbers, there's going to be certainly more than enough people saying me too, me too, me too. So that's number one. Number two, the political climate is so out there and strange and rough that I think you're going to be seeing a lot more family-friendly escapism reality shows, maybe even big escape realism reality, big budget escape realism reality shows. That's number two. Number three, despite the fact that Lucky 13 was not the success that everybody was hoping that he was, I don't think we've seen the last of sports icons coming in, because for every Lucky 13, there's a Holy Moly and other things that have been driven by sports and celebrities. I think that you're going to see more sports crossover. Because if you're looking at it in terms of ratings, the biggest things that are getting the highest live ratings right now are the sports.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's number three. Number four, and you've seen this already, and you're going to see more of it, the Super Bowl, I believe, there will be a game show being posted after the Super Bowl.
The Floor.
Yes, The Floor. And we've had reality shows. I mean, we've had competition shows. But it is the first, and we did research on this, Shining 4 game show to come out, right? There have been Survivor episodes, there have been Next Level Chef, and a bunch of other, The Voice, but nothing like this.
Yeah, so expect a lot more branding opportunities with that. And that leads me to number five, Web3 and crypto. You know that when we have a new president that has been really hammering the whole idea of the crypto and the crypto market, the numbers are going to go up. In terms of crypto and cryptocurrency, it would not surprise me if an award of crypto was one of the prizes that was given out. Sort of like if you remember back then in classic concentration, they gave 10 shares of AT&T stock. I could easily see somebody getting like $5 worth of crypto.
And of course, bars of gold on the Price is Right have been a mainstay.
Yeah. So why not Web3? That's my thoughts.
Jason, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are this. You know, us three chat a lot. And we always joke, when is the game show renaissance ever going to end? And you know what I'm going to say? Never. Never. Once we hit that reset button 25 years ago this year, remember, this was the 25th anniversary of Millionaire this past August, okay? We have not stopped. We have not stopped. I mean, when you have people like Michael Davey, Mark Burnett, who, by the way, might be joining the Trump administration, if you remember last week, that was actually in there.
I heard about that. We'll chat more about that next week.
Yes, we will.
He could be your very first media pro.
He could be, yes. When you have people who are in, you know, all the people that we know, Ryan Seacrest, Drew Carey, Wayne Brady, all these people, there are kids who have never known life without Survivor, Amazing Race, RuPaul's Drag Race. Can you believe, I mean, seriously, right? Game shows and reality shows are influencing culture and life more than ever before. Many years ago, a good friend, Harry Friedman, said that the game shows are both an economic proof product. I will add reality shows to that. We're at a point right now where game shows and reality shows will never go away. And that for us is a damn good thing.
Hear, hear on that.
And the best part about it is not only bringing new ideas to the forefront, but taking old ideas from the past, giving them a nice new shine, giving them a nice new patina, and bringing them forth for a new generation. And we are going to see this month another example of that in the reboot of the Hollywood Squares.
And we will talk more about that next week. But we do have a couple of things to promote. Chico, you and I, tomorrow night, January 2nd, are going to talk about week 17 in the NFL. And, oh boy, the very controversial week 18, where certain players are going to sit. And we will also talk about the college football playoffs and the effect the terrorist attack that happened today as we record this January 1st in New Orleans is going to affect the playoffs. We're going to talk on a very semi-serious edition of the BS tomorrow.
It's going to be a very, very news-heavy edition of the BS Big Show. Gordon, you're just coming from Greensboro. I know this because I was there. But yeah, what's going on the panel?
Well, in the UBA land, we just keep crunking along here. So yeah, we didn't take a break off. We had Southeast last team standing that weekend. Congratulations to High Octane. That is three straight tournaments in a row that they have won. They are scorching hot right now. And this weekend coming up, we go back into UBA tour stop play.
There you go. And it was a thing.
Okay, this week we released in two parts, as we always do, the Year in Review. This is the show where we talk about everything that happened over the past year that will become the things on TV in the future. Everything from Reagan in Paris to Ted in Peacock to Dolph Lundgren flipping a coin 21 times.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all on it was a thing on TV.com.
So, Chico, take us home. What's next week?
Next week, we are back at it, and we've got, oh gosh, we've got so much stuff to talk about. We've got the new season of Drag Race. We've got The Price is Right at Night, Celebrity Jeopardy, More Jeopardy, Pop Culture Jeopardy, More Jeopardy, All the Jeopardy. Holy crap, that's a lot of Jeopardy. Oh, gosh. And, of course, because it is a new year, we have the return of the Super Toilet.
Oh, my God. Is Push or Flush next week?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yay! Oh, I love that. I love it. So,
we do it all for you.
Yes, and thank you for everyone who are listening, who goes to the site at GameShowNewsNet.com, to all the people both in the industry and not, all our game show industry people who we know and love our and fans, respect.
Our friends. You know. Everybody listening, we do this for you. We do this because of you. And sometime in the next year, we're going to hit episode 500. And we would love for you to be listening for that. So, for Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5&1, talking about Carl Schneer, Chris Palmer, BRM, Nikki Heyman, Jessica Brand, Sydney Seidelman, Ian McClinn, Brian Henniger, everybody at 5&1.
Yep.
And of course, did I say our chief high muckety muck, Carl Schneer?
Did. But say it again. It's always good.
It's always, you know what? He's been good to us. We're good to him. But for everybody at 5&1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And now more than ever, spread the love.
Happy New Year.